This morning, it's a real privilege for Susan and I and the four children to be here. Yeah, I'm on, yeah. I think I'm on.
I think you are.
Praise the Lord. Full on. The initial thing as we were driving in this morning, there was kind of great thanks pouring forth in our hearts towards John and the church because, one, we got to have a bit of a lion this morning, so bless the Lord. And two, we got to church in the same car because normally we come in two different cars at different times. So much thanks. And just to say, you know, the relationship between Corn St. Mark's down the years has been such a blessing. And, you know, it continues with John and Catherine. And just from a personal point of view, before I get into this word, just a massive thank you to John for the amount of times over the last number of years where the Lord has used him to speak into my life. Sometimes at critical times, and just be that encouraging word, that upbuilding and uplifting word that just keeps you on the path. Because as we all know, leadership is so much fun, and everyone longs to be there. They just long not to do it. So it's like it's just that role in life. But anyway, much blessing upon all of you, and bring greetings from your brothers and sisters in St. Mark's on Pier Street. Okay, the theme that John gave me was with regards to the Father's house, and one of the things about the Father's house is that the Father's house is filled with and full of compassion. Compassion one to the other, which is where it always starts, amen? Amen? Glory to God. And then compassion out onto the streets as it overflows from our hearts and we give the overflow of our hearts to those that are around us. We're going to look at the scripture today. As I was kind of seeking the Lord and kind of going, the Father's house and the heart of compassion, I was brought to this scripture in John chapter 13, which is going to be familiar to so many of you. And the thing about the scripture is that it brings us back to ourselves, really, and that we can't afford or seek to afford to be a house of compassion overflowing with the love and mercy and grace of Christ if we can't be that one to the other preeminently and at the start of it all. And so John chapter 13 is what we're going to look at today. Again, just a few little words before we get into the scripture. In the Father's house, love abounds. In the Father's house, compassion is the currency of choice. In the Father's house, faith is the food that fills. In the Father's house, joy is the emotion that resonates. That's the Lord's desire for the Father's house. And Jesus said that when we see Him, we see the Father. And so what we're looking at in this scripture today is we're looking at a scenario where Jesus Christ is the host. We're in His house, and we're invited in to a little family gathering, and we're invited in to see all that happens when followers of Christ get together. And it's all encompassed within the scripture that we know of, where Jesus washes the disciples' feet. So John chapter 13, and from the top, it was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for Him to leave this world and to go to the Father. Having loved His own who were in the world, He now showed them the full extent of His love. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under His power, and that He had come from God and was returning to God. So He got up from the meal, took off His outer clothing, and He wrapped a towel around His waist. After that, He poured water into a basin, and He began to wash His disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around Him. He came to Simon Peter. He said to him, "Lord, are You going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Peter, unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "A person who has had a bath needs only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you." For He knew who was going to betray Him, and that was why He said not everyone was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I've done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." You will be blessed if you do them. The house of God, the Father's house, the house of compassion that we all long to be and we all long to express is full on with regards to love. Love is just something that is so evident within the house of God. It is a place of extravagant love. It is a place where people are determined to show each other the full extent of their love. Jesus, he had gathered people as the host into his place for this special gathering. Not his place, a place they had got for the evening. But it was his place for that evening. And he wanted to express to them the full extent of his love. You know, it's amazing when you think about that sentence because you kind of feel, gosh, maybe he should have waited till the cross to show them the full extent of his love. I always thought that was so interesting that it's here in this room, in this place, gathered with the people that have been his followers, his fellow travelers, that he expresses the full extent of his love. Yet, what's interesting about the text that I've just read to you is that Jesus doesn't say, "I love you" once. He doesn't say, "I love you," but he is complete love in that scenario. He is the expression of love. He is love in action. We all know that love says that there is nothing I wouldn't do for you. There's nothing I wouldn't do for you. And I just wonder if that's kind of the love expression that we express one to the other in the Father's house. There is nothing that I wouldn't do for you in the Father's house. You know, it's such an extravagant expression of love that we see from these pages. And we're so challenged as we see Jesus showing the full extent of his love in acts of service, we have to kind of wonder and ask ourselves, in what way am I serving my fellow brother, my fellow sister, to show them the full extent of my love towards them and to show them the love of the Father that's in me overflowing to them in the way that I serve them and the way that I act towards them and in the way that I open my house to them and in the way I share my bread with them and in the way I do life with them? In what way am I expressing this love and showing the full extent of my love? In any relationship, when one of the parties is just a taker, love dies. And the greedy one usually leaves, the taker usually leaves, blaming the other or blaming the house. And the challenge has always been for those that have said, "I was never loved enough in there." Oh, the question always comes back, how much did you love? How much did you love in there? How much did you love your brother and your sister? In the Father's house, love is spelled A-C-T-I-O-N. Because we all know that actions speak louder than words. And we all know that. And that's the way it is in the Father's house. The Father's house is full on with regards to grace. If you knew that you were going to die a horrible death very, very soon, what sort of host would you be? If you knew you were going to die a horrible death very soon, how would you be with regards to the life and soul of the party? Would you be like telling your best stories with the great ending? Oh, wait till I tell you this one. Would you be thinking of other people? Or would you be so self-consumed with regards to what lay ahead of you? Brothers and sisters, whenever I have to go to the dentist, I am self-consumed. It's like, "Lord, that drill. And Lord, I just hate that sound of that drill. I don't want him near me. Actually, I'll cancel the dentist." Jesus knew what was in front of him, what lay ahead of him. And yet we see the most gracious of hosts in the Father's house. People are gracious hosts. people walk in here that are new, and we are gracious hosts. Welcome. You might have had a bad week, but hey, Jesus was going to the cross and he was still gracious. So welcome, welcome. It's great to have you here. You are so welcome to this place to join with us in worshiping our Lord and Savior. If I knew that such a horrible death lay ahead of me and there was a bit of a party thrown, I can assure you I would be very, very Victor Mildrewish. Very, very Victor Mildrewish in the way that I do the party and do life with those people that come. Are you just too important to be gracious? Are you just too important to be a gracious host to folk who come in here for solace and for refuge, for hope and for love? In Luke's account of the same story that we've read from today, in Luke 22, we find a tragic statement. A dispute also arose among them, which of them was to be regarded as the greatest. Isn't it fantastic that when we get vision and we get input and we get to see the nuts and bolts of what went on with regards to the followers of Christ, that nothing is left out, to try and paint this kind of picture where they always nearly walked on water and they always floated in and out of meetings and they always just had this aura of, you know, I love that it's like the reality of life and the way we are is just in the pages of Scripture. Nothing is left out. That's why it's the real gospel from a real God to a real world. And so these people are just sitting there and they're arguing over who's the greatest. Who is the greatest? In this house, the power hungry, the prestige seeking, and the position hungry are all welcome. They're all welcome. And isn't that amazing? That this is the graciousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus speaks to all of them in love. He loves every single one of them. He serves them all. He humbles himself. The most powerful creator of the entire universe humbles himself to his creation that are talking about being the greatest. He humbles himself. We have all received what we don't deserve from the Father. And so that always makes us gracious hosts. Or are we kind of waiting for a better class of sinner that don't have dirty feet? Is that what we're waiting for? A better class of sinner? I think the Father's house wants us to be full on grace and graciousness. The next point with regards to the scripture is that the Father's house has full on identity-wise. We understand our identity in a full on way. In verse 3 it tells us that Jesus knew something. What did he know? In verse 3 it says, Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, that he had come from God and he was returning to God. And so he knew who he was. He understood his identity. And my brother, my sister, you are a king's kid this morning if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior and your Master and your best friend. You're a king's kid. Life doesn't get much better than that. Amen? There's no greater pinnacle than being a child of God. How great is the love that the Father has lavished upon us that we should be called children of God, and that is indeed who and what we are. Amen? And so sometimes us Christians give the impression that we're still looking for identity, when the Lord is waiting for the penny to drop on our identity, on who we are in the Father's house. You know who you are. You get who you are. You understand where you've come from. You understand whose you are. You know why you are. You know where you come from, and you know when you take your last breath where you're going. You understand the authority that Jesus Christ has now placed in your hands, since he is now seated at the right hand of the Father, and we are his plan A to bring people in to his kingdom. Isn't it amazing That so much of the time we operate outside of our identity. Isn't it an amazing amount of time that we forget that by very nature the fact that we are in the Father's house, that we have the identity of identities that is going to last forever and ever, that we have blessed assurance, that we have a great sense of where our source is, what our purpose is, and where our destination lies, that these are all the things that people would give so much for who are waking up in this city with sore heads this morning. It's absolutely amazing all we have in our identity as the children of the Father. In the Father's house, the most secure in their identity are the best servants. The most secure in their identity are the best servants. There's nothing that they won't do to show people the full extent of their love. You know, I'd go as far as to say, brothers and sisters, and I submit this to you, that if you are not serving, you do not get who you are. If you are not serving, you don't get your identity as a child of God at all. The next point with regards to this scripture that we just read this morning is the humility that we find that's full on in the house of God. The Father's house is unique. In the Father's house, the ones who are called leaders humble themselves the most, they bow the most, they serve the most, they seek to attend to others before they even attend to their own needs. Jesus says, "You call me Master and your Lord, and you are quite right, for so I am, and yet I'm prepared to do this for you." What are you prepared to do? What am I prepared to do? Are you prepared to humble yourself in the Father's house and to take on a role that's even beneath you? Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he emptied himself, made himself nothing, taking on the very nature of a servant. Jesus Christ, our example. I am growing in the image of Jesus. So many people tell me on a weekly basis, how is your life going in the Lord? I'm growing in the image of Jesus. The next question is, who are you serving? Who are you serving? No, I'm growing in the image of Jesus. No, I know, I heard you say that, but who are you serving? No, I'm growing in the image of Jesus. Isn't it amazing the way modern-day Christianity dissects growing in the image of Jesus from serving people? How is that possible? It's a really good call, though, isn't it? It's like, you know, I'll do a bit of surgery on my image of Jesus, where Jesus emptied himself of the fullness of being the most powerful, a powerful part of the Godhead. He emptied himself and took upon himself the nature of a servant in order to fulfill the Father's will for his life on earth. Jesus, the ultimate leader, the creator, humbled himself to be a servant. Do we humble ourselves enough in the Father's house? In the Father's house, service is full on. Not just the service, but serving and serving one another. We know that Jesus had to leave his position as the host to become the servant of all. He had to serve at his own party. He had to become the servant of all. After he had served, it says he went back to his place and put his garments back on. So he had to leave his place to serve everyone, and then he went back to his place and to his position. The head of the house, the host of the party, he had to get up and he had to leave his place. And you know, this is always the way within the house of God, where people are continually having to leave their place to go and to serve somewhere else because that part of the body isn't serving in their place. It's an amazing thing to watch with regards to the function of the church and the function of the body of Christ. And sometimes we wonder, why is the body of Christ so lopsided? And it's just because people sometimes, when they have a position in the house and the Father's house, they have to go and they have to take on a different position because someone who should have been doing that isn't doing that. It's key to every house. It's key to our family house. We have 4 children. There's one that would do absolutely anything for you at any time and tends to get most of the requests. And there's one that never wants to do anything any of the time and ends up getting very few of the requests. And then there's a couple of whingers in the middle. And you can decide who they are over tea a bit later. But the thing is that, you know, we have this in every family, in every house, and in every house of God, we understand this. And the question today is, are you in your rightful place? Are you functioning in your area in the service of the body? Are you that member of the body, that great body that Paul uses as an illustration, that works together and works in unison and works in a flowing way? Or does someone in another position, another member, does a foot have to operate as a hand? Does an eye have to pop out and be a finger at times simply because you or I choose not to be the member that we are within the body of Christ? Are you too busy having the greatest conversation? Are you having I should get more attention here. People should recognize the gift of God in me here much more. Is that the conversation that you're having in the Father's house? When the Father just wants you functioning within your place, within your position. Jesus did what none of the others were prepared to do. It may well have been that on the night of this last meal together, the disciples had got themselves into such a state of competitive pride that not one of them would accept the duty of seeing that the water and the towels and the basin were ready for the washing of feet as the band of brothers came in. None of them were prepared to prepare even for the washing of feet, let alone the washing of feet. And so Jesus Christ, through whom all things were made, the author and perfecter of our lives, he was the one who got the towel, the water, the basin, got on his knees, and he washed from between those dirty toes that dirt and filth and muck. I won't go any further. It was interesting that in the Father's house, no servant was hired for that night, because Jesus surely hoped that they were getting who they were and that the house was full of servants. No servant was hired for that Passover, for that meal. I was just recently at the Willow Creek conference, and the last speaker was this gentleman, a Baptist preacher from America, from Detroit, and he was just, you know, just full of zeal. He was giving it loads, but he just threw in this thing with regards to the way their church is functioning, and they're having a mighty impact on their area, and it transpired that he was the only member of staff that was in a full-time position, paid by the church, because their church had all. Not all, it's never all, is it? But their church had understood what it meant to serve the Lord. The church had got it with regards to serving people in their community. And they were having this incredible impact simply because they understood that in the Father's house, it should be that no servant needs to be hired, because we're all serving and we're all loving. In the Father's house, it's a full-on feast all of the time. It's so full-on. The real servants of the Lord are always full, and they always come to church full, and they always feel full, and there's just that sense of fullness. We see this in the miracle of the loaves and the fishes, where the servants had to feed all of these thousands of people, and it was like as it was being expanded, and miraculously everyone was being fed, the food was going around, and everyone was getting their fill. And it says that they all ate as much as they needed, as much as they wanted. And it only began stopping, the flow only began stopping as each vessel was filled. So the only thing that ever restricts the flow of God is the fullness of the vessels within the place that is the Father's house. But these people anyway, that had been serving the apostles, they came and the Lord Jesus said, I want you to go now and collect all that's left over. And what was left over? 12 baskets. Baskets. They had a basket each. Servants of the Lord always are filled. They had a full basket each. Amen. What a powerful God that we serve. The real filling and the real feasting in the Father's house comes to those who look to the good of others first. It comes to the servants who share their faith. Listen to what it says in Philemon verse 6. I pray that you will be active in sharing your faith so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. So there's people who are coming to the Father's house and they're going, oh, I'd love to have a full understanding of what it means to be in Christ. Oh, I'd love to have a full understanding of what it means to have everything in Christ. I'd love to have, will you pray for me? Will you pray for me? Will you? I'd love to have a full understanding. And here's, do you want a full understanding of what it means to know everything that you have in Christ? Do you want that? Here's how you get it. Share your faith. Amen. Oh, I don't like that answer. It's not very spiritual. Isn't it amazing that the fullness we seek only comes when we empty ourselves? The fullness that we seek only comes when we empty ourselves of ourselves, where we empty ourselves into the lives of others, where we empty ourselves into serving people, serving this great God of ours. That's when we get real fullness. Do you know, it's sad how people misunderstand, how we've all misunderstood this. Thinking that if we could only stay one more hour in the holy huddle, I will be filled. And the Lord is crying out for us to get out there. And as we empty ourselves, we're filled with anticipation, expectation. As people's lives are transformed, we get filled with excitement, filled with purpose. Oh, I love this testimony. Oh, I love this. I'm getting so filled with the Lord's presence, listening to that person's testimony about how they were touched by the Lord just using this simple vessel to affect their lives. Absolutely extraordinary. Jesus taught his followers that he got food that they knew nothing about. He had food, access to food that they knew nothing about. What food did the Lord receive on that day where they went into town to fill their bellies physically or to get whatever they needed? The Lord stayed, didn't he? And he ministered to the woman at the well. And as her life was transformed and she became the first evangelist to go back to the town, used by God, a lady who'd been in seven relationships, a lady who was not at that moment in time married herself, was sent by the Lord Jesus to go back and to spread the news. And she goes in, she goes, oh, come and see the one who told me everything I ever did. Like, you know, isn't that an amazing testimony? Come and meet the person that told me everything I ever did. And saying that as a positive just blows me away. The churches that feast on God's approval and blessings are those that watch out for the widows and orphans and those that empty themselves of their own self-importance. If you're in the Father's house and feeling empty this morning, can I just put it to you that maybe you're empty because you're just serving nobody but yourself. Maybe you seek to get full by every other means and all you end up doing is giving off to the servants who are already trying to serve in the house as if they were responsible for your hunger. God's house is a full-on feast where we feast on the good news of Christ, where we feast on the finished work of the cross, where we feast on testimonies of lives changed, where we feast on love, where we're full on love. Oh no, Sean, you're overdoing it here. Can you remember the times when you fell in love? You remember that far back, yeah? Bless the Lord. And you'd come in from work and you'd been working 8-10 hour a day. And you'd come into the kitchen and your mother would she'd have your favourite on the table. And you'd run by it and go up to the shower and get washed and get changed. And you'd wonder, do you want your dinner? No. Why? Because you had to get with your date. Amen? For those of you that forget, just ask your spouse next to you and they'll remind you. But see, we were full on love. There was something else that was more important than physical food. Hello? There was something else that was more important than physical food. And so we were full on love. Now, that might be a distant memory with regards to romance in your life, and that's fine. But the thing is that the Lord's love, which is the greatest love of all, is something that we have access to all the time. And sometimes when we're showing people the full extent of our love, we are being filled. And we're going, oh my goodness, when was the last time you, do you know what, I skipped lunch and I didn't even realize. Why? Because I was blessing somebody. I was loving somebody. I was caring for somebody. I have to stop blessing and loving you now because I've got lunch. God bless you. Like, we never do it that way, do we? When we're truly loving and truly serving and when we're truly getting in there for God and when we're making a difference and even when we don't feel we're making a difference but we're pouring ourselves out like a drink offering, we're being filled. We're being filled. We're being transformed. When you're other people-centered and seeking the way of love, you're full. Verse 17 tells us, you will be blessed if you do them. You will be blessed if you do them. Last point, brothers and sisters, just to give you hope. There used to be an old phrase that cleanliness is next to godliness, and people used to think that was in the Bible, but it's not. But in the Father's house, those who love the host are given clean garments, and they're clean. Amen? Everyone that comes into the Father's house are given clean garments. And you know, the thing about modern day life and, you know, all the ads on the television, well, a lot of the ads on the television, is that we as a people love to bathe and we love to soak, don't we? And we love to soak in such a capacity that is as comfortable as possible. With that kind of lovely lotion in the water, those lovely bubbles, the candle in the corner, the smooth music on the stereo, and just soaking and bathing for as long as we possibly can. And it's just so lovely. And we see a classic example scripturally with regards to a desire to bathe and to soak in the scriptures with regards to the transfiguration. And the Lord goes up and he brings three of his trustees with him and they see him transformed and transfigured. And it's absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. And so that ends and the Lord is kind of bringing them down there like, oh no, Lord, we want to stay here. We want to build a few boots. Boots, whatever you call them. We're going to build these places where we can just stay and we're just going to stay here. This is the business. And Lord says, no, you need to come down from that mountaintop experience and we need to go back down to the valley again. No, but Lord, I was made for mountaintop experiences. I want to stay here. I was made to bathe. I was made to soak. I was made to have the stereo on and the candle on in the corner. I was made to suck it all in. The Lord says, no, we need to come down. And they meet a kid, don't they? That's demon-possessed. And they get on with the business of advancing the kingdom. You know, one of the greatest challenges to Christianity in the 21st century is breaking that longing to stay in the bath and to soak. And Jesus says a curious thing to Peter that you've already had a bath. I just have to wash your feet. And there's nothing that Peter would like any more than another bath. No, I just want another bath. I'm a bath kind of guy. And the thing is that for those who have had a bath and are always looking for the bath experience to be fully immersed again, we're missing the point. If you're a believer and you've been baptized, you've been fully immersed, amen? You've had your bath. God bless you. I hope you enjoyed it. But from now on, we just get our feet washed. Oh, that's not fair. Brothers and sisters, we've had our bath, amen? You know, sometimes I'm talking to people and it's like, I just want another meeting. What for? I just want to soak. Soak in his presence. I just want to soak. There's not enough soaking these days. There's not enough soaking. Okay, yeah. You want to soak. You want to get in a room with fellow believers that are already saved. You just want to sit there, stand there, lie there, kneel there, and you just want to soak because you just want another bath. I tell you what we'll do. We'll cancel our meeting, right? We'll get a basin, we'll wash each other's feet, and we'll prepare each other and encourage each other and bless each other for what the needs are out there. Amen. And let's organize a soak and a bath. But not for us, we've already had it. Let's organize a bath for all those that have never had one yet. Wouldn't that be awesome? And let's bring them into the bath with the nice water, with the nice music, where we can have fellowship together. And we can rejoice that they were filthy, dirty, but now they are clean. Hallelujah. They were once lost, but now they're found. They were once in darkness, but now they've been brought into the light. We need to get out of the bath. We've had our bath. Hallelujah. And so now we just wash each other's feet. When the church wants more time in the Spirit, Jesus wants more laborers in the harvest field. Isn't that amazing? When the church wants more time in the Spirit, Jesus is asking us to pray for laborers for the harvest field. Sometimes that can break our hearts. Fully immersed, bathed, filled people who continue to desire a good soak are going to be left empty. Do you know what happens when you stay in the bath? The water gets cold, doesn't it? And you get wrinkly, just horrible, tops of your fingers. And the CD finishes after an hour. And the candle burns out and there's no... And then just people get irritable down the cold water. And, you know, the Lord's saying, it's time to come out, but now I'm going to stay here. Or worse still, they hop out of that bath and try and find another bath. And so that's life for us in the Father's house in these days, where people are seeking to hop from bath to bath, or they're not going to get out of the bath, and when it gets cold they get irritable and it's all the bath's fault. But brothers and sisters, my God help us. We are living in days where there is so much opportunity. People are so open because everything that they depended on has collapsed around them. People are so hungry for the things of truth and of life and of the Spirit. People are so hungry for your gifts of the Spirit. But we just want to meet ourselves and just express the gift that we know you have anyway. I knew you had that gift. When we gather, we wash each other's feet so that the feet are once again beautiful, because how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. And so on a Sunday morning, what we're really doing is we're washing each other's feet to make them beautiful again, so that we might once again go out there and bring the good news. I better stop you. Very, very last point. Okay, bud. I was reading this morning, brother, and this verse came to me, and I just felt to say this in closing. Jesus replied in verse 7, "You do not realize what I am doing, but later you will understand." You know, sometimes when you're leader of a house, people don't understand what you're doing. And I certainly have that, and I've had that, and it's been frustrating to a lot of people in my journey of transition. And I just want to speak over this house this morning, that when there's someone that the Lord has placed, John and Catherine never kicked in the door to come in here. The Lord called them, and we all agreed it was the Lord, and blessed the Lord. Sometimes life happens, and we don't really realize what's going on. And sometimes leading St. Mark's, I don't really realize what I'm doing. But I know that God has placed me there for a purpose. And the people that love me and encourage me and pray for me and bless me, whenever that happens, things open up for us that are just breathtaking, that just take my breath away. But whenever times are cantankerous and people are getting frustrated and people are just getting annoyed, they're the times when we just cease to be the Father's house. And I just felt this driving in here this morning, but at verse 7, the Lord Jesus Christ saying to his followers, look, you don't realize what I'm doing. Later you'll understand. And that's an okay answer. That's an okay answer. You don't realize what I'm doing. Lord, sometimes I don't realize what I'm doing in St. Mark's. But look, that's an okay answer. People used to come to me and say, what's the vision? I say, I don't know. That's an okay answer. Because I tell you what's the wrong answer. Pretending you have one when you don't. And so all I could ever say was, look, I honestly don't know why I'm here apart from the fact that God has called me. And apart from the fact that you believe God has called me. So, like, let's get on with this. Amen? Can we all stand? Hallelujah. But I'm just going to, I don't embarrass you, John, but I'm just going to do something here. Just, my hanky, just want to wash the dust off your feet, but just even as a representative of the body here and just as a friend and as a fellow leader. And Lord, I just want to pray every blessing upon this man of God. Lord Jesus, it's such a privilege to have brothers that can stand side by side in this spiritual warfare that we face every single day. Lord Jesus, I want to thank you for the input that he has given into my life, Lord Jesus, and into my family's life, Lord. And I pray, Jesus, that this day, that you would just raise up his arms and strengthen him, Lord God, and bless his marriage, and bless, Lord God, Zachariah, Lord Jesus, and bless this baby on the way. And Lord Jesus, we know that you've got great things, Lord Jesus, that he mightn't even realize within his heart or mind at this time. But Lord, you are the God of the plan and the Father of this house, and you will lead him and this place in the way that it should go. Father, I thank you for my precious brother. Encourage him this day. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, we just stand in your presence now, Father. Lord, we recognize that, I recognize that a lot of the time I'm in your house, Father, I'm quite selfish and self-centered, Lord God. And I just pray, Lord Jesus, that you would start by forgiving me this morning, Lord God. And I just pray, Lord God, that if there's any other brother or sister that can relate to that in any other way, that, Lord Jesus, even the overflow of their hearts right now would be one of seeking forgiveness and seeking, Lord God, just to be reunited with your heart of compassion and your heart of mercy and your heart of grace. Lord, that you would come, Spirit of the living God, and that you would fall a freshness, Lord God, that we might leave the upper room, Lord God, go out into the streets, that 3,000 might be added to our number, Lord God. Lord Jesus, I pray, Lord God, that we would understand that the gifts, Lord God, are not trophies, Lord God, that we possess, but they're tools to advance the kingdom, Jesus. And Lord, the harvest is ready. The harvest is ready in Dublin this morning. Hallelujah. Lord, I pray for laborers from this church. Laborers that will go out, Lord God, and meet the needs, and lift weary hands and limbs, and bless people, and help be the vessels of transformation that will bring transformation to people's marriages and homes. People who are in despair, hope will come, Lord Jesus. That, Lord God, they will be life speakers over people's situations. Jesus. Oh God, what a privilege we have to serve you, Lord God. And then, Lord God, when we hear the testimonies in this place, Lord God, we'll go, oh, Jesus, thank you that you used me. Thank you, Jesus, that you used me. Me, such a weak vessel. You used me to be a part of this testimony. Oh, Lord, I feel so full. Jesus, forgive us, Lord God. Forgive me, Jesus, for the times that I forsake you, Lord God, and your plans and your ways. And casting all them aside this morning, I just pray that you would come, Spirit of the living God. And Lord Jesus, where we have emptied ourselves during the week, would you refill us, Lord Jesus, so that we might go forth this very day and empty ourselves again in the advancing of your kingdom. We love you, Lord Jesus. Lord, I pray that as this service comes to a close, that you will put someone on someone's heart in this body just to go to them and wash their feet by praying for them or speaking a loving word over them or having a scripture for them or speaking a prophetic utterance over them. Lord Jesus, would you help us to make our feet beautiful to bring the good news this week to our dark world, we pray. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.